Good morning. It is nice to be here. It's a lovely morning outside, and what better day to speak about mustard seeds. Now, size isn't everything, you know. In fact, I'm not exactly tall. In fact, I need a ladder if I'm going to paint the skirting board. My grandma used to say that good things come in small packages. My grandpa used to say, so does poison. It wasn't one of the world's most positive thinkers. But I'm going to ask you a question now. A question which is potentially explosive. It's a question that has caused newspapers to put it on their front page. A question that's raised eyebrows in Parliament. A question where the reply needs to be carefully measured so as not to cause panic and anger. So this is the question. Brace yourselves. Have you seen any green shoots of recovery yet? Tiny little green shoots. That's all we need. If you look after them, those green shoots can grow into untold things. And the potential is all there in those green shoots. Or as our reading puts it, the potential is in the seed. There has been reports in the media recently of the sighting of green shoots. But if I said that's it then, there's nothing to get depressed about, then you wouldn't believe me. In fact, I wouldn't believe me. We don't have to look very far to gather evidence together. Take the news in the last couple of weeks, for instance. British soldiers are killed. Demonstrations in Iran over the elections. Which way will they go? A mother and a father commit suicide off Beachy Head because they cannot envisage life without their son. And the expenses debacle goes on. But closer to home, a letter comes in the post to us, or a phone call, or a fax, or an email. There's so many ways nowadays. But the message is just the same, and the whole of our life is sent into turmoil. You come to church looking for people who are excited about life and faith, and instead you seem to find people who are bored with nearly everything. You reach out to those around you, and no one reaches back. You feel alone and disconnected. You do what you can to help others, and the very people you try to help give you rejection. It doesn't take long to gather together quite a body of evidence that ends up with us falling into a negative spiral. But no matter how many times we try to spur ourselves into life, there's those people and things that can undercut our enthusiasm. And the unfortunate fact is that there's a great many people who are not excited about much of anything at all. In fact, many people are living lives that are crippled by poverty, despair, depression, through many reasons, not only the economic climate. But when it comes to meeting people, to being with people, there is this phrase, what you give is what you get. What you sow, so shall you reap. Or in computer terms, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If we expect people to be no good, then often that is what we'll see. Now, some of you may know of this person, so to protect their identity, I'm not going to use their name. But my wife, when she drives around... occasionally makes a move in her car that causes impatient drivers to wave their fist at her. Now, I do that too. And I think at times we all do that, particularly when we're in a strange place and can't take in all the traffic signs there are nowadays. It can get me quite worked up. But to my wife, she says, "Oh, that person must know me," and waves back. She believes people to be good first and foremost. And if we expect people to be no good, then often that will be what we see. And unfortunately, it is true that some people are no good. There are people who cannot be trusted, who will take advantage, but we know, heart of hearts, that they are the minority. And if we believe everybody to be like that, then our view becomes a prison for us, not for them. They go about the world oblivious. It becomes a prison to us. We can often store up a great deal of anger and resentment, and we can hold it in no longer and let fly at the smallest of things that's totally out of context with the situation we're in. Jesus lived his life with a perspective that was different from most of the people he came into contact with. The gospel he taught was an invitation to view self, others, and the world in the light of God's love, power, and justice, to treat others as you want to be treated. So there we go again with those phrases. What you give is what you get. Garbage in, garbage out. And I'm presently doing at the moment some placements, various forms of observation, shall we say, on various forms of ministry. One of these is with a charity called Grassroots in Luton. And it's working across faiths to break down barriers and promote understanding. And recently I attended a meeting of the Luton Council of Faiths, where present were leaders from Bahá'í, Quaker, Jewish, Jain, Buddhist, Hindu, Islam, Sikh, and Christian. And it was a privilege to meet together and for some of those myths and barriers that we all imagine to be cleared away. Those there become not faceless ethnic communities labelled and pigeonholed. They become individuals struggling day to day with the same things we all do. And all the time, their faith leading the way. And meetings like this are badly needed in Luton, especially after the unrest following the parade of troops returning from the conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this very, very small Christian charity works at the grassroots to build bridges and knowledge across communities. Not to convert them, but in doing that work, they actually reinforce their own faith. Their own faith is confirmed, their own Christian faith is confirmed in what they are doing, building these bridges. Barack Obama, in his inauguration speech, offered to extend a hand if others were willing to unclench their fist. And in his latest speech, he takes that further and says, around the world, we can turn dialogue into interfaith service. So bridges between peoples lead to action. Whether it's combating malaria in Africa or providing relief after a natural disaster. And he goes on to say, all of us share this world for but a brief moment in time. The question is whether we spend that time focused on what pushes us apart or whether we commit ourselves to an effort, a sustained effort, to find common ground, to focus on the future we seek for our children, and to respect the dignity of all human beings. We all pray that those are the green shoots of a greater understanding around the world. And Jesus could see beyond the appearance of the possibility. He saw others not so much in terms of what they were, but in terms of what they would become as a result of seeing God's love. An ordinary fisherman became the rock on which the church was built. A dishonest tax collector becomes a trusted friend and disciple. Outsiders are invited to be leaders. The unclean are restored to fellowship. The hopelessly ill are made well again. An angry Pharisee, who is persecutor of the church, becomes an apostle to the Gentiles. People who heard and believed the good news of the gospel were liberated from the prison of negative perspective. Good things are possible. Not because of our own efforts, but because of the redemptive power of God. And when Jesus tells listeners that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, but which becomes a great garden plant. When he tells them that, he's inviting men and women to look at the world with new eyes. And in this very brief parable, Jesus is saying, this is the way God does things. God is like a sower who scatters seeds. The seeds may be tiny and invisible to the naked eye, yet when the seed is planted, it grows and provides shelter for the creatures of the world. And the kingdom of God is like this. That initial spark may be very small. It may be tiny, tiny. But with faith, ultimately, the results can be great. So let's think. This is how God does things. Then what will he do in our lives? Well, if we begin to look for the mustard seeds, if we look for the first signs of those green shoots, the signs of the Holy Spirit working through people, the small and insignificant then become as important as the big. Because after all, they have to be nurtured. But nurtured and given freedom, the green shoots become the great bush, the tree. You can have the courage and the enthusiasm not to give up on yourself, not to give up on others, on the church, or even on the world, just because you see such deprivation and sadness. You can build something great from it. We can see God working in the world in those places of deprivation, working through people, and know that tiny as that may be, tiny as a mustard seed, then that's all that's needed for God to build people up. You can do great things for God if you're willing to offer yourself to him who has planted in you the tiny seed of love, of generosity, mercy, justice, and kindness. But those seeds won't grow without the nutrients they need. We must give them fertile ground in our hearts. Our lives must learn and study God. We must follow the teaching of Jesus, for example, on how to live our lives and go on to sow seeds in the hearts of others. Being a member of the church through baptism reminds us that God recognizes and blesses us. That very sacrament should remind us that you are somebody. You are special. You are a child of God. To believe that you are a child of God is what Paul meant when he wrote to the Philippian Christians and said, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And the parable of the mustard seed reminds us that God's beginnings may well be small, but his results are great. The power of God is in our written word, is in the Bible. But the power is in the word. As our Corinthians reading says, we live by faith, not by sight. As we pick up a Bible and hold it in our hands, we realise that this word is not passive. There's something in there. And if we daily meditate on his word, it grows in us. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this story. The task is for us to look for any signs of those green shoots. They may be no larger than a mustard seed. But if we give what we can, if we offer that to God and offer that to others, so they can grow to know Jesus, to live with the Holy Spirit in their lives, to take forth the potential they have in whatever area of life and bring that gift to God and honour him. Jesus Christ has called each one of us to be his disciple. No matter what the situation or condition, he hasn't asked us to fill out an application form. He's called us. It's something important for each one of us to do. And we have to follow his call. We have to recognise the green shoots of recovery in our lives. And nurture that relationship with God to help them grow so we can be different and together the world can be different.